Hey, everybody, this is Kyler Bingham with Salt Lake Dirt and KPCR 92.9 FM in Los Gatos, California. We are very excited to be up at Slam Dance. This is the 2024 edition, the 30th anniversary. We are in person with a very interesting filmmaker. I had the chance to see his film. He came all the way from Italy. Tell us about yourself. Who are you and what was your film that played earlier today?
Hey, so first of all, thank you very much for this this space and this opportunity. I'm from Sardinia, which is an island in the Mediterranean Sea, but I live in Torino. I'm based in Torino, which is in the northwest, and it's also where the film that I directed was shot in.
Yeah, and it was what I love so much. So the film is, it's translated the accident.
Incident.
Okay. I loved it. I thought it was totally my kind of film. You shot it on film, which I, you know, these days I don't talk to a lot of people who shoot on film, especially a feature length. So talk to me about that. Talk to me about the decision to do that and maybe the challenges doing that, because I can't remember the last time I've talked to a feature filmmaker who has done this, and I thought it was so cool, and it looks so beautiful. It's just a beautiful film.
Oh, thank you very much, first of all. Yeah, you said challenges. There were many challenges because it was shot on film, but also to complicate it more, there was no monitor assistant. So what we were shooting on film, we didn't not have the chance to look at it. So nowadays, when you shoot on digital, you're always looking at the monitor, but we had no monitor. So yeah, that was a kind of scary. And also, we did not dailies, which is like we didn't send to the lab every day the film. So we didn't saw the film until it was over, actually. And that's pretty weird. And as a workflow nowadays, because we are used to watch exactly every frame we shot and playback, and you show the actor and the actress what was going on in that specific moment. But yeah, I think in the good part, well, the stressful part is it was that Julia Shinto, the cinematographer, was like very had a lot of responsibility, and she handled it like crazily good. But the good point also was that we focus more on living the moment on set, and no one was looking at TV on set.
Interesting. No, when I watched it, I guess we should tell people a bit about what the film is, and the actress that plays the main character. What a heavy weight she carries the film, and she does an incredible job. Tell us a little bit about the film. And as well as the actress, who I just thought was phenomenal.
Yeah, she's called Giulia Mazzarino. She plays Marcella, which is a single mother that loses her job and after a car accident decided to buy a tow truck. And I totally agree with you. She totally carries the film on her shoulders, like maybe literally on her shoulders, because we are standing on her shoulders. And she was, I'll tell you more, that we didn't rehearsal with her. Mm. We did no rehearsals. So she works a lot in theaters in Italy. She was super busy schedule. So she arrived like 2 days before the shooting. We just read the script together. Of course, she already knew the script, but together we just read the script once. And she came on set and she did all those scenes, pages and pages, because it's very long shots.
Yeah.
With no coverage. Yeah. And she did like crazily good. And also I have to say that she had no time to rest, because she was always during all the film, she's always on the scene. So she was part of the crew, actually. Really, I'm so grateful for her work. We did something together before, a short film together years ago. But I really hope that this film can show the world even more how good she is, because I think she's great, really.
Yeah, she's a star as far as I'm concerned, seeing her in it. And then what I thought was so cool, I'm assuming culturally different, the tow truck, the way the tow truck driver was very different from how I've experienced, tow truck drivers here where I live in America. And I just thought it was so funny, the concept of a tow truck driver chasing ambulances. Is that something that happens?
Yeah, everything starts when I had a car accident and I discovered the world of tow trucks. So a lot of the things that are portrayed in the film, they actually happens. The tow trucks in Italy, there are different kind of way to do it. They are very illegal, but also there are people that you can buy a tow truck with no license, no specific license, and you just can hang around and looking for accidents, and that's more work. So people does find creative ways to do it, and one of these ways is portrayed in the films, and it's chasing ambulances, and it's also leaving business cards telling people to call them if you see an accident, and they pay you money. That really happens.
That's incredible. I mean, I thought it was. It was funny, but it was also just that sense of just like desperation. Like, I'm trying to make a living. I'll do whatever I can. And how angry the ambulance people get with them.
Yeah, it's very have a very cynical way to pay for your living. And yeah, it's the contrast between something really tragic happening and something that really is really useful for you. That's a really moral, interesting contrast.
Yeah. Now tell me about getting into Slamdance. Slamdance is one of my favorite film festivals to cover. I used to come up here years ago just as a fan to see the films. And I especially am drawn to films from other countries. I think it just gives me an insight into a world that I probably will never get the chance to visit. Tell me about when you heard you got into Slamdance. Where were you? What were you doing? And what was your reaction?
It was crazy, because when I first read the application things about Slamdance, I really feel inside that I will dream to be on it, because it's really an inverse gatekeeping, because they try to keep out the big people in the business, and they try just to select the under million budget projects and stuff. So also what's very interesting when you do the application is that they say, we're really looking for something that's really unique. So we're interested of course in what you're telling about, but most of it we want to see something that we never saw before. And I have to say that I was dreaming that I could be part of that consideration, because what we did is like kind of unique in a formal way. So yeah, what happened is that Paul Ackman called me just to give me the news, and I thought it was a prank. He presented himself, and after I discovered that he's the director of American Hardcore, which is a documentary that I love, and also I bring a copy here of the DVD, and today he signed me a copy.
Oh, wonderful.
So I thought, at first I was dubious, because in Italy we're very suspicious.
That's not a bad thing.
I said, okay, it's not a prank, right? And he said, no, it's not a prank. I will send you an official letter. I was just at a bar with a friend of mine, which now lives in New York. He's Italian. And we shared this moment together. And the fun part is that I was telling him about the Slamdance really 30 minutes before this call, because I read that they will call in that time of the year if you got selected. So I was telling him, I dream, but it will never happen, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And I received this call, and it's pretty crazy.
It was meant to be. That's great. Now, tell me about your background in filmmaking. When did you first become interested in filmmaking? When was there something you saw or stuff you gravitated towards that made you think, this is something that I want to do? This is something I think I can do.
The thing is that my parents, they were against television.
Really?
So we had no television at home in the 90s when I grew up. But they took me to cinema every week, so I saw a lot of 90s films, which is the worst thing. But that's what
you take what you can get, though, right?
Yeah. But I think that formed me, and because I experienced the movie theater experience and not the television experience that all my, you know, my classmates were experiencing. And I started to do it when I started to edit. So I started to be like a video maker in 2010, 2011. And I did that it was my job, but it was like a moment very important in the passage of the fashion industry was communicating through videos. Mm-hmm. It was a real boom of videos online because of YouTube and stuff. So I started to edit a lot and shoot a lot, and that was a commercial, very the first experience was very commercial. And then gradually I started to purchase for less and less money. and that here I am.
That's great.
No, I mean, I just got tired of commercials, and I got tired of, because I think that if you have to do that, I should do another job, because yeah, I'm looking for that. And also, so in 2013, I started to direct my own projects, which were documentaries at first. First, I was using stories about sports, and try to portray the humanity of the people that are represented in these stories, trying to look for something else. I think sports really helped me. It was an easy way to create a narrative, a powerful narrative, and really helped me to learn how to I think, express some emotional sides of the people. And I think really helped me and formed me. But at some point, I got tired of having this responsibility of portraying real people and their stories. And I decided just to go in the narrative field and to be just completely free and to build your own world. But documentaries really, really formed me as a filmmaker, yeah.
Great. And, in a way, like this film, it felt kind of like a documentary in a way, you know, it's like writing along with her through it. So it had a very cool feel, incredible visuals. And I mean, just hearing that you weren't able to see what you were doing and, you know, or have it played back in the dailies, you know, it really just like shows that you like cut your teeth on documentary. That's very cool. Now, the screening was earlier today, just a couple hours ago. Tell us, before we started recording, you were talking about you've had a, you know, you were Ukraine, and then at home, right? And
yeah, in Luka Film Festival was the first one, then Molodys in Kiev, and then here.
And then this one. So what I found interesting, what you told me was like just the different reactions that you get depending on where you are in the world. So tell us about tell us the reaction, and you were brave and you stayed through the whole screening. You sat and watched it with the audience. What was that like, seeing it at such a cool festival here, Slam Dance? What was your experience? Like, I know it just happened, but any thoughts that stick with you right off the bat?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it because we are very influenced by American films. So just to be here, in Park City, it's crazy for me. Yeah. And to be at the screening, yeah, a lot of directors don't do that because it's painful, but I like to do it because you always learn. And when you watch your film with an audience, it really changes every time. The film changes, the audience reacts in a different way, and also it's a different experience for you as a filmmaker, because you live the film in a different way also. Mm-hmm. So the weird part of the film is that it mixes these very dramatic things and also this deadpan comedy style. So what's fun is that people laugh, but maybe something bad happens next. So they're really confused about how we're supposed to react to this film. So you can hear a lot of laughs, and you can hear people like getting more like silent in the more dramatic parts. And yeah, it was fun. And we had also a Q&A after, which is super interesting also for me. And you know, it's also nice when people can see some references that you have. For example, a guy told me about Karismaki, which is some a director that I really admire. And it's interesting when people in the audience find something that you really care about, so you feel that something has passed through the screening. And that's, but I want to say that I'm so grateful also because of the emotional reaction that this film has to some people, because being an experimental film in the form, I didn't know if it will work on an emotional level.
Sure.
Because it's, you know, the use of the music is very uncommon. There's a lot of silent parts and slow cinema. So when people connect to Marcella, which is also because of the crazy job that Giulia Mazzarino actress did, I'm so grateful for it. I'm so happy that they connect to her.
Yeah. And that's wonderful. I mean, it's great too, because, you know, of course you're excited for the screening, but you also, it's out of the way now. So you could have a lot of fun now and, you know, enjoy seeing other films and just enjoying Park City. I mean, we look out the window right here. What a beautiful view we have. It is kind of, you know, even though I live close, it is surreal sometimes coming up here and just seeing like people from all over the world, meeting people from everywhere. And it's a really incredible experience. You mentioned that people, it's really cool and gratifying when people find something in the film that resonates with them. When the film becomes more broadly available to people, what are your hopes for it? What do you hope people will gain from this viewing experience?
That's an interesting question, because I think it's not a film for everyone. Mm-hmm. So I think that the film can find some people that really, really connect to it, because they like this kind of... But some people cannot. So as it get wide and broad, I think it get also more wide, the differences between who really loves it and... Yep. Really, I don't know, doesn't like it. I haven't found any haters of the film, but of course it's a film that has some very slow moments, for example, which I love because I'm very influenced by Chantal Akerman and the slow cinema. But some people, nowadays we really used to platform films and they're very fast, and we used to TikToks and Instagram, which is cool. I don't want to demonize that. But of course it really... To myself as well, really influences our attention span and our way we look at audiovisuals. So I really like every kind of response to the film, really, because if someone tells me that it doesn't happen yet, well, of course it will happen. Sometimes that is boring, that there's no parts. I think, yeah, it's true. I mean, you can't expect that we'll connect to everyone.
Sure.
Because it's a crazy expectation. And being an unconventional radical film, this is even more even more valid. But I'd say that being an unconventional, it's also what got the film here, for example. Yeah. So also I want to say just one thing about Slamdance, which is unique thing, is that the Slamdance organization, they really try to push as filmmakers to connect to each other and support each other. For example, before I was meeting with all the other filmmakers in the narrative features competition, and we had a WhatsApp group, and we talk to each other, we support each other, we made, for example, Instagram posts together. Mm-hmm. But also they came to the screening, some of them this morning, they said, asked questions to a Q&A, we were talking about the film. That's very unique.
Yeah.
In a festival experience, that festival really brings you on a more competitive individual path. It's very very unusual that a festival challenge you to cooperate and support each other. That's really amazing for me.
I've noticed that as well, and I think that's a very cool thing about Slamdance, and the fact that the films are so unique. Mm. they're so different that it kind of eliminates in some capacity the competition that you might see in other things, because everything is so different. Like, how can you compare your film with another film? So it's cool. That's great. Anything else you're looking forward to in Park City? As you're, hopefully you can make a bit of a vacation out of it. I don't know how long you're staying.
Well, I'm a film nerd, so I just want to watch films. But I think today with the other filmmakers, we're going to walk around. Mm-hmm. And also what I like is that we are all very, very grateful. And sometimes I go to festival and I see other directors that they are very like, yeah, of course I'm here. I deserve to be here. And in the narrative feature competition, we are all like very enthusiastic and like this one of our kind of experience. So yeah, I'm just looking to spend more time with them, because we, as filmmakers, we don't connect much each other. Mm-hmm. There's no many occasions to do that. And so I'm just looking for maybe we go to the main street today, which we have never been there.
Yeah, you got to check it out. Yeah, there's some cool stuff up there. Well, thank you so much for your time. I love the film. And this was a great in-person interview to kick off my coverage of the festival. So I appreciate your time. And I hope you enjoy the rest of the festival, enjoy Park City. And please let me know how I can support the film. I really want people to see this when it gets closer, when distribution happens. I really want to help promote it, because I thought it was an incredible, unique piece of art. So thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you for this opportunity, for this interview. It's also thank you for everyone listening, and which have forgiven my bad English.
Oh, no, you're great.
They're still with us.
You're great. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And then we should mention, I'll have a link to where people can follow the film. There's a website and an Instagram page.
Yeah, they are both in Italian name. It's Storia del Fantasma.
Great.
Both Instagram and also storiadelfantasma.it or .com or .it.
Great.
You can find some news. Where the film is going to Canada in a couple of weeks also, yeah.
Wonderful.
This was the North American premiere.
Premiere, great. Well, I'll have links to where people can check it out. Please follow the Instagram page. I mean, visually, this film is just beautiful. So again, thank you for your time, and I wish you the best.
Thank you so much.